the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to God. Amen. Please be seated. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Who else is watching the Winter Olympics? I love it all, almost all. Figure skating, snowboard cross, half pipe, giant slalom, mogul, skeleton luge, speed skating, biathlon. I've even gotten into curling this time. I think I went cross country skiing once in my life. Other than that, I know nothing about any of these sports, but for 2 weeks every 4 years, I become a winter sports expert. In 2028, I'll do the same thing for the Summer Olympics. There's something about watching individuals and teams from all over the world compete in so many different events all at once. It moves me every time. And I read something this week that helped me understand why. It was an opinion piece by Kelly Corrigan in the New York Times titled, "Please Pass the Awe." I was in awe watching Jordan Stoles dig deep to win gold in both the 1,000 and 500 meters in long track speed skating. He's the first person to do that since Eric Heiden in 1980 at Lake Placid. And I was also in awe watching Ilya Malinin hug surprise gold medalist Mikhail Shadorov from Kazakhstan and give a gracious interview after Ilya finished eighth instead of first in the men's singles figure skating competition. Despite the doping scandals and the politics and the unfair advantage that money gives some athletes, the Olympics shows us what people can do. For a few weeks, every few years, we see a world of human beings striving to be their individual and collective best. The Olympics provoke awe. And according to Corrigan, this experience of collective awe is coming at a really good time. She wrote, "I don't know how everyone else's nervous system is doing, but I've been struggling, watching and waiting for the next bad thing to happen to our kids or parents, our towns, country, or planet. How to counterbalance the drain and replenish our energies for the work ahead? Seek out moments of wonder. Enter the Winter Olympics." She cited the work of Dr. Keltner, a psychologist at UC Berkeley, who studies what happens to our bodies when we experience awe. She wrote, "His research suggests that awe allows for a neurobiological reset in which hormones are released that lower pro-inflammatory cytokines, which are metabolically expensive molecules linked to stress, depression, and chronic disease." In other words, awe helps our bodies counteract the stress of being alive. We need awe. And the key, wrote Corrigan, to getting the full set of physiological benefits is beholding, paying close attention with the full power of your senses, which is what the disciples experienced in their own alpine team event with Jesus. The disciples had known Jesus for a long time. They had seen him heal people and multiply the loaves. They had heard him teach and proclaim the reign of God. They had pulled him aside a time or two to ask for clarification. They knew Jesus well. But on that day on the mountain, they saw all that he could be. They saw God's glory fully revealed in the face of their friend. Now, 6 days earlier, Jesus and the disciples had been in a difficult place. Jesus had argued with the Pharisees and Sadducees, which was always draining. Somehow, in the midst of all of that stress, Peter had voiced this inspiring declaration about Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus praised Peter's insight, but then tempered his enthusiasm a bit by explaining that the Christ would suffer and be killed. And if they wanted to follow him, they would have to take up their own cross, which was not exactly what they wanted to hear. But 6 days later, they went up the mountain and witnessed the transfiguration and experienced awe. Of course, Peter wanted to stay up there. And then in their wonder, they heard the voice of God confirming the identity and belovedness of Jesus and telling the disciples to listen to him. More awe. They could barely take it all in. But Jesus reached out and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." Reluctantly, I imagine, they got up and followed Jesus downhill. And the first thing they saw Jesus do after this holy experience was heal a young boy. What the disciples experienced is apparently a common response to awe. Corrigan wrote, "Beholding takes and causes a smallness of self. You realize you are part of a universe bigger than you. The world shines for a minute. But then you have to return to your regular life. And when you do, you have been changed." Corrigan continued, "Research shows that frequently the experience of awe is related to generosity, an inclination to help others, and pro-social feelings of trust and connection. Awe moves us out of ourselves and towards others. Get up and do not be afraid." So experiencing awe in any setting is apparently good for us. Go watch the Olympics, it may help. Sit on your couch for the next week as much as you can. It's good for you. But seek out other kinds of awe as well. Maybe get outside, see a sunrise, gaze at a camellia, marvel at the world and all who dwell in it. But I humbly remind us that we have a ready-made possibility for awe available here every week. Worship is an opportunity for regular encounters with awe. Every week we gather here to behold God. We still our voices and our minds and we listen for God's voice. We meditate on the record of God's loving deeds. We remember that the Lord is our ruler, not any earthly king. We pray, which moves us out of ourselves and toward the world around us and reminds us that we are not alone. We give not just money in the plate, but our very lives. We receive the presence of Jesus in gifts of bread and wine. We are invited in worship to experience awe and then go from here to love and serve the Lord. Corrigan praised the timing of these Olympics. The news cycles keep us on edge and strain our bodies, minds, and spirits. She quoted a neuroscientist who said, "Vigilance is metabolically expensive. The awe in Milan is both healing and empowering." But realistically, isn't life always like this? We always have mountains to climb, moguls to navigate, icy paths to steer through, twists and turns, leaps of faith, targets to hit when our hearts are racing, exhaustion to push through, and falls from which to rise. And worship is available all the time to give us strength and help. So I encourage us all, as Lent approaches this week, seek out awe in this holy season. Make worship and prayer more of a priority in your life. Embrace the silence that fills our worship in Lent. Give up the things that distract you from the holy or are beneath you as the holy child of God you are. Seek out the awe of being God's beloved. Lent may be just what we all need. Amen.